Okay, the premise the Maharal was developing last time was that we have to understand that mitzvos, as good as they are for us, the impetus, the drive behind the mitzvos, is namely the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech and the King decrees. Mitzvos lav lahenos nitnu. That's what he was using as his halachic proof. The fact that if a person says, I take a neder not to get hana from a shofar, or I take a neder not to get hana from a particular body of water, and then a person hears the shofar to fill the mitzvah, goes into that body of water to be tovel a tefillas mitzvah, and many, many other gemaras, it's all mutter. Why is it mutter? He's getting hana. The answer is mitzvos are not for our hana. Now, if anyone, I don't know if anyone here is learning Daf Yomi, but if you're learning Daf Yomi, in today's Daf Yomi, on Daf Kuf Lamed at Aleph, and Daf Kuf, yeah, Lamed at Aleph in Masechta Shabbos, it says that any mitzvah that the Jewish people accepted with joy is a mitzvah that we still continue to celebrate, like Bris Milah. Right? And mitzvahs that we struggle to accept, we still struggle with. So there's no question mitzvahs are meant to be enjoyed. Simcha is part of a mitzvah. It's one of the 48 Kinyanei Torah, Simcha, as a general disposition, and certainly with regard to mitzvos. And there's no question that mitzvos are good for us, and we'll see the Maharal is very clear about that. And he even said last time that mitzvos give us a reward, a hatzlacha she'ena achareha hatzlacha, right? The greatest success, which has no success that comes after it, namely Olam Haba. And yet, the attitude of a Jew has to be that the king decrees, period. Now, you'll say a lot of what we're going to learn tonight, what we learned at the end of last time, is really a matter of semantics, but it's more than just semantics. It's more than just how you say things. It really becomes the focus of how I do things, and a true understanding of how is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us mitzvos, right? Is it about us, or did Hashem impose it upon us? He's not going to discuss it in this perek, but keep in mind, I was thinking about it in preparing, keep in mind the image of Kaf Aleihem Har Kegiges. Keep in mind the Kadosh Baruch Hu putting a mountain over our head and forcing us to accept the Torah. As much as we like to think that we, willingly chose the Torah, Hashem forced us into Torah. And I think that's really beneficial for us. Because at the end of the day, the fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu demands that we live the greatest possible life, while again we spoke earlier, it comes with certain risks that, we could seemingly opt out, not opt out in terms of responsibility, but opt out and saying, I don't care, I don't want to do it, and be punished terribly for it. At the same time, Hashem is trying to push us down a path that is of necessity. Right? And we learned many times, the Maharal says, Torah is made for the Jewish soul. It has to be. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pushing us through his gezeirah with a heavy hand as a melech. He's forcing us to accept Torah and mitzvos. It's not coming from a place of rachmanas. It's not coming from a focus on what's good for us, even though those are all very true byproducts of Hashem forcing mitzvos upon us. Okay, so let's continue with the words of Al Tomar right here on the screen. V'al Tomar, the last line we read, we ended off last time, is V'hatam b'kulam b'fnei she'mitzvos ha'Torah lo nitnu le'henos bi'olam hazeh rak la'ol al ha'adam. Mitzvos are an ol, they're a responsibility first and foremost, and we have to accept them as such. Va'al tomar, and don't say ki perish lav lehenos ba'olam hazeh. Don't say that when the Gemara says mitzvos are lav lehenos nitnu, mitzvos were not given for our pleasure. Maybe it means it's not for the pleasure of this world, rak l'tov lanu l'olam haba, but it is for the pleasure of olam haba. Says the Maharal, that's not going to help, because then sof kol sof, mitzvos are for our pleasure. Right? Not every pleasure is instant gratification. A person might have a job. It's a good-paying job. He'll be able to pay his bills. He'll be able to buy his wife a nice gift. He'll be able to take his children on a nice outing, whatever it may be. He'll be able to buy, acquire things of this world that he desires, right? So all the pleasure that he gets from spending that money, he still doesn't get the paycheck instantly. He gets the paycheck at the end of the month, let's say, right? But at the same time, you would say that, okay, right now, if he knows he's going to get it, so he's already getting some of that pleasure. So if we're saying mitzvos are not for our pleasure, you can't just say, well, mitzvos are not for our pleasure now, but they're for our pleasure later. Then, sof kol sof, mitzvos are for our pleasure. If we just delay the gratification to olam haba, then the mitzvos are still, again, about us getting rewarded. And we don't want to think along those terms, says the Maharal. So don't tell me that mitzvos are not for our pleasure means not for our pleasure in this world, but they are for our pleasure in the next world. That doesn't help. De'im haya tchilas nesinas hamitzvah liyisrael lehita behem b'olam haba. Because again, if the goal is to eventually get the pleasure of olam haba, then imkein mitzvos lehenos nitnu. Then mitzvos are in fact for our pleasure, just not immediately for our pleasure. So from the fact that Chazal say mitzvos are not for our pleasure, it means on a certain level, mitzvos are not for our pleasure in this world, mitzvos are not for our pleasure in the next world, mitzvos are an obligation upon us. And again, we'll see how that actually is beneficial for us. Ve'im hadavar hu kamo shepirash haramban, shetchilas hamitzvah hi letov lanu. And if we learn like the Ramban explained, and it sounds again like a pasuk in Chumash, we'll quote the pasuk again in a few moments, right, that mitzvos are in fact what, for letov lanu, it's a pasuk in Chumash, mitzvos are letov lanu. So the Ramban jumps on that, he emphasizes that. If you say like the Ramban, the mitzvos are in fact letov lanu, imkein lo haya hadin azek kach, shia mutter lit kawalot kia shal mitzvah. Then if I said, I take a neder not to hear shofar from so-and-so, then sof kol sof, I shouldn't be allowed to hear the shofar for him. V'hu muder hanami menu, I took a neder not to get hana from him. So it must be, from the fact that even if I take a neder not to get any hana from my friend Corey over here, right, from Chanoch Henoch, so I can still hear shofar from him. Why? Because hearing shofar is not for my pleasure. Not in this world, not in the next world. Hearing shofar is an obligation upon a Jewish soul. The king of the world has decreed. It's a decree that the king has issued against his people, or upon his people. As we've explained, and therefore it would be mutter in fact to hear shofar from the person who I said I'm not getting any hana from. And if you're inclined to say, as we want to say, we want to believe that mitzvahs are for our benefit. And again, there's a lot of indications that they are. So the Maharal is really fighting this in a very strong way. And you'll see how he walks it back at the end of the parak. But if you feel inclined to say, if your heart longs, if your soul longs to say, ki mitzvos Hashem yizbarach aleinu letov lanu kol hayamim, that the mitzvos are in fact for our goodness, for all days, both in this world and in the next world. Kipshat HaKosu, as the Pasuk itself seems to say, in quotes, Vayitzaveinu Hashem Elokeinu lasas es kol achukam ha'ila letov lanu kol hayomim. L'chayosenu kayom hazeh. That seems to be Pasha Peshat in the Pasuk. That's how the Ramban explained the Pasuk. Mitzvahs are for our good. So why is the Maharal being so harsh? Why is he making it, no, it's a gezeirah, it's a decree of the king, mitzvos lav lehenos nitnu, not in this world, not in the next world. Oh, by the way, you will get great reward, you will get great olam haba, it will make your life meaningful, but you can't think about that. Well, what is that? So if you're inclined to say that mitzvos are for our benefit, so you could say it as that. You could say it in the following way. Above ofen hazeh shehadavar hazeh gam ken gezerah. You have to acknowledge that as good as it is for you, it's rooted in a gezerah, it's rooted in a decree. It's rooted in the king commands it to be so. V'lo kamo mi sherotze lahativ la'echod, v'im eina rotze lakabu la'gezera, oz amakabu yucha li'poter. It's not like a person, imagine I say to my friend Jonathan Berger, drive safely over there, if I say to my friend Jonathan Berger, right, I have this great opportunity I want to offer you. So it's great, I'm telling him objectively it's great for him, but I'm also telling him I'm offering it to you, which means if he's not in the mood, he could say thanks, but no thanks, right? I don't want the obligation. I don't want the reward. As we mentioned last time, you don't have that option with mitzvos. You can't say, I believe mitzvos are great in this world and the next world. It's just not my thing. That's not an option that's available to a Jew. So, mimanav shach, it's a gzeirah. It's not incumbent upon, it's not optional for the Makabel to weigh in and decide, do I want it, do I not want it, right? Like the Gemara says in Maseches Yoma, he gives us an example of such a notion. The Gemara in Yoma Samach Tesam at base. Klum nasata lanu rak lekabel schar, lo ihu be'ina v'lo schar be'ina. The Gemara there is talking about something which is so foreign to us, the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. The drive, the temptation, the desire to want to bow down to Avodah Zarah. It's so foreign to us. Who wants to bow down to a rock? Right? But it was mamash a taiva. The same way that we have other taivas. There was mamash a taiva to want to worship Avodah Zarah. And it was a big Yetzer Hara. and it came with the potential for great reward to conquer the Yetzer Hara. For what? For Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara uses the expression, again, this is not an exact quote, but this is the idea of the Gemara. The Gemara says it in Aramaic, here it's in Hebrew, but the Gemara says, when Hashem offered us this great reward for valiantly defeating the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah, Klal Yisrael basically said, lo ihu b'ina v'lo schar b'ina. We don't want the fight and we don't want the reward. In other words, Hashem, just take the whole thing away. We're not interested in it, right? We know that if we fight through it, we'll get a great reward, but we don't want the fight and we don't want the reward. It's very similar to what the Gemara says in Brachos. He doesn't quote it here on the screen, but Brachos daf hayam at base. The Gemara says, lo hein v'lo scharan. The Gemara says about yisurim shel ahava, right? Hashem sometimes afflicts a person to help you to grow. So the Gemara uses the expression, thanks but no thanks. Lo hein, I don't want the suffering. V'lo scharan, and I don't want the reward. Make my life easier. And again, all of this takes us back to our question of, why couldn't I just have Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach? Be so much easier. I wouldn't have to worry about that big set of Shulchan Aruch on the shelf behind me, or the Tor, right? Or the Shalos and Tshuvos Igros Moshe over there, or the Lahoros Nosson over there. I wouldn't feel, you know, surrounded by these Svarim that are telling me there's more details, and there's more details, and there's more things to think about. It's endless. So Hashem, if you love me so much, so make it easier for me. Lo hein v'lo scharan. I don't want the reward and I don't want the obligation. And the reality is, too bad. It's not up to you. Hashem put a mountain over our head. Shedavar ze eino rak shatov ahu ba'atzmo gezeir al Yisrael. An interesting lashon. Says the Maharal, the tov that Hashem is offering you is forced upon you. Look at the words again. Shatov ahu ba'atzmo, the goodness that Hashem wants to bestow upon you is a gezeira al Yisrael, is forced upon you. Kafalayim harkigigas, a mountain over your head. You don't get to opt in and opt out. Your kids can't say to you, or you can't say to your parents or grandparents, you wanted to be Jewish, I don't want to be Jewish. Right? Too bad. You're forced to do it. And it's the greatest thing to be forced into because it's the greatest thing for you. But the Maharal wants us to understand that the foundation has to be Kasher Tziva Hashem. Kasher Tziva Hashem. God has commanded. So what's the pshat of this pasuk? A pasuk that says it's for our benefit, it's good for us for all of our days. Look at these words. Only Maharal could write in such a way. Hashem has decreed mitzvos upon us because He's decreed goodness upon us. He's forcing us to live a good life. It's such a funny notion, but we all understand what it means. Any responsible human being, right? Any thoughtful person understands what that means. Right? Those who are married and blessed with children understand we have to force our kids to sometimes do good things, and they may be resentful initially, but I have to force my child to make the right choices sometimes, right? Because maybe they're doing something that's, God forbid, you know, physically, spiritually dangerous, or just immature and irresponsible. So my love for my child forces me to force my child to do something that it may seem burdensome or lacking in pleasure. Right? So again, look at the law. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Gazar Aleinu HaMitzvos because He's Gazar Aleinu HaTov. He decrees His goodness upon us. And the only way to get there is through mitzvos. But therefore, again, the backdrop, the foundation of mitzvos has to be what? He decrees, period. So since this goodness is what? Is forced upon us, right? Against our will. Yomar b'zeh mitzvos lav lehenos nidnu. Therefore, we have this principle that mitzvos are not for our benefit. Ki lo nidnu al das hamakabel. Again, it sounds like semantics, but it's a deep idea. That the mitzvos were not given with the intention of giving us the good. Memela, it's great for us. But the focus is not with the mindfulness, not with the awareness that it is for our good. Ubishvil kach hamitzos heim ol al ha'adam. And therefore, mitzos continue to be an ol, a yoke, a burden, a responsibility that is placed upon us. I want to read you just very briefly a footnote that I have in the nice edition of the Maharal in front of me. He writes here, Rabbi Hartman writes in footnote 81. He says, again, it sounds like semantics, no? What difference does it make if you say that the focus is the goodness that Hashem bestows upon us, or the focus is the Gezeirah, but Memela, it's still good for us. It sounds like we're playing games here. What difference does it make? He says, I'll read you his words. What difference does it make if lo nitna lo midaito, if it wasn't given with our understanding, with our mindfulness, our willingness to opt in? Madua heder daze mahapecha satova na laol. Why does our lack of right to choose it turn it into a yoke as opposed to something pleasurable? Right? Why does the fact that we can't choose, again, if it's good for us, right? If I force you to have a good experience, so if I ask you at the end of the day, what was the experience? You say it was a burden? No, you'd say it was good. So at the end of the day, if the end of the day is olam haba, if the end of the day is a good life, so why does the morale keep saying, well, but because you didn't choose it, it's a yoke. Because you didn't choose it, it's a gezerah. So he writes here again, and these are very fine ideas. They require a lot of clarification. But he writes here in the footnote, v'nir bezeh, ki hoel v'ha mitzvos nitnu shalom mi da'as adam, since mitzvos were given without our das, bal karchach sheha mitzvos lo nitnu mitzad ha-mekabel. So therefore, if you don't have das, then it's against your will, right? When a husband marries a woman under the wedding canopy, and he places the ring on her finger, she obviously has to accept it. She has to be willing to accept. Right? You can't force her into it. That wouldn't be a binding arrangement. And the reason that das is so important, he writes here, is shaharei mohus ha'adam hi da'ato, because das is the essence of a person. Our mind, our intentions, is really the essence of who we are. And therefore, the fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is forcing it upon us without our das, without our willingness to opt in or opt out, in a certain sense, that robs us of truly being mekablim. But at the end of the day, of course, it works out good for us. But again, the fact that we're not able to choose it means it's forced upon us. And therefore, again, the essence, the underpinning of the mitzvah is the fact that it's a gezerah. And that's just, it's such an important thing in a world where, you know, we're so casual about things. We want to do everything on our own terms. So much the reality of our world today. You know, everyone wants to do things on their terms, at their convenience. And Hashem says, no, there's responsibilities. There's things you have to do. And it is good for you. But I don't want to even say that to you too prematurely, because I'm scared that you're going to think that that means it's optional. It's not optional. It's incumbent upon the Jewish soul to do mitzvot and to learn Torah. It's something that we have to do. Okay, let's go a little bit further. The Ramban could certainly, as we explained, the Ramban's understanding, we'll come back to it, again, certainly can fit with this idea, namely, ki mitzvot shalonis achzar, that the mitzvot are to train us, if you remember the Ramban from last time, the mitzvot are to train us not to be cruel people. Hamida hazos gozer Hashem al adam. Again, the Maharal can't take a step without saying the word gezerah. It's true. You could say Hashem wants you to be a nice person. And you could say that's beneficial for you, and it is. But you have to realize Hashem decreed you have to be a nice person. Hamida hazos gozer Hashem al adam. V'chein shar ha-mitzvos kulam heim l'kvo abad ha-midos tovos. Yes, mitzvos are to transform us, but v'heim gezeros al adam. But it's decreed upon you. A Jew has to be a nice person. Again, an amazing idea. It's not optional. A Jew has to be the best of society. A Jew has to be the best that humanity can be. Aval Masha Pirish HaRambam. But that which the Rambam told us, Ta Misha Omer Sha'osa Midos Kadosh Baruch Hu Rachamim Ve'enan Ela Gezeros Lomer Shalo Chas Hakel Al Kan Sipor V'lo Yir Rachama V'lo So V'al Beno She'en Racham Megim B'Balei Nefesh HaBaham Islam No Mimenu Tzarchenu She'im Kein Haya Oser HaShchita Aval Tam Amaniya L'Lamido Son Amidos Rachmona Shalo Nesachzar U'midvar Av El. This is supposed to be, say, Ramban, not Rambam. I don't know why this one says Rambam. Mine says Ramban. But that which the Ramban told us, again, that we shouldn't put the focus on the animal because it's not about the animal. And if it was about the animal, we wouldn't be allowed to shech the animal and put the focus on the person, that we have to be sensitive people. Says the Ramban, says the Maharal, we'll end with this, just two more lines. Says the Maharal, it's still not enough to take it off of an animal and to put it on us and to say the focus is Hashem wanting to transform you is still not enough. Because then you could say, I don't want to be such a good person. it implies there's still an element that you can choose. Umidvarv Eila Mashra, from the Ramban, it sounds like, again, the focus is on humans, not on animals. Shadavka v'min balchai ein lomar kach. You can't say God had mercy on the animals, but Hashem put the focus of the mercy, becoming merciful upon a person. Aval ba'odam. So then you would say what? According to Ramban, if you give tzedakah, so Hashem is focused on the person, right? Hashem is not focused on the mother bird and the baby bird, but Hashem is focused on people. So what is that? How does that play out when a person's collecting tzedakah? So then Hashem wants me to be kind, and Hashem wants that person to be treated kindly. The focus is on humans. Efshar lomar shehashem hayeh merachim ala ani. Hashem has mercy on the ani. And that's why Hashem commanded us to give tzedakah. Says the Maharal, no, you still can't say that. Davar ze'eino. Gamkein, you can't say that as well. You can never make a Kadosh Baruch Hu's decrees into something of Rachmanis. Ki ein midas tzedakah derech Rachmanis. Again, these are amazing ideas. That tzedakah is not derech Rachmanis. Ki kol hadvarim. The root of everything has to be what? Heim begzeiras hadin. V'lo mitzad harachmim shu yizbarach merachim al ani. Does Hashem care about the ani? Yes, of course Hashem does. But the reason you give tzedakah is not because Hashem has rachmanis on ani. It's because Hashem decreed you have to give tzedakah. Of course, that has the reality of you showing rachmanis to the ani. And independently, Hashem cares about the ani. But when you do the mitzvah always has to be rooted in Hashem commanding me to do so. Raki gozer ala adam kach, shiyeh ha'adam merachim. Lo shiyeh Hashem merachim ala ani. Hashem has demanded of you to have rachmanis, not that Hashem wants the ani to be treated with rachmanis. It's not that Hashem is focused on the ani and therefore it's decreed that you need to provide him with his means. Because Hashem is not looking at the ani and seeing his struggle from the perspective that we're speaking tonight. Again, the punchline is that that everything we do has to be rooted in this idea of the Gezeiras HaMelech. You know what? It's a bad place to stop, so give me 30 more seconds. I'm just going to scroll down and just give you one final proof of this idea that it's absolutely so. The Maharal says, Hashem is not looking at the Makabel. As much as Hashem is interacting with us and loves us and has Rachmanis on us and wants to give us a good life, but mitzvahs, we have to view it on a certain level. He's not doing it for us. It's simply the king decrees. And the greatest proof of this idea, perhaps, are the first three words of the Torah. Yes, everything Hashem did in creation was good. But nonetheless, Bereishis bara Elokim. Elokim is midas adin. Vayar Elokim es kol asher asa. How many times does it have Elokim, Elokim, Elokim? 32 times, I think. My father always tells me. I think it's 32. 32 times at the beginning of Bereishis. It doesn't say Yudke Vavke. It says Elokim, Elokim, Elokim. Because again, a Jew has to know that it's a Gezeiras HaMelech. And last but not least, in the footnote over here, he says, even though we sometimes call the Torah Rachmana, right? We talk about, we call Hashem Rachmana, which means literally the merciful one. But the truth is, if you look at the Gemara of Kabbalah HaTorah, when Hashem commanded the first two mitzvahs directly from the mouth of Hashem, the Gemara in Makos Chav Dalid, what does it say? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and lo yia alocha lohim acherim, who commanded us? Mipi ha-gvura shemanum. You heard it from the gvura, not from the merciful one. Even though we call Hashem all the time, Rachmana, Rachmana libaboy, the merciful one. The Torah is called Rachmana. But on a certain level, we have to remember the starting point is Bereishis bara Elokim. And the commands that we heard directly from Hashem at Har Sinai before Moshe took over, was heard mipi ha-gvura. From the Gvura, from the Midas Hadin. And again, it's not because it's not good for us, and it's not because Hashem doesn't love us. None of that's true. Hashem does love us, and Hashem wants good for us. But a Jew has to be grounded in that deep sense of obligation and responsibility. And that's, I think, what the Maharal is trying to drive home tonight and throughout this parak. Okay, so Mir Tzah Hashem, Sunday night we'll finish the parak Mir Tzah Hashem. He has one more very fascinating Gemara in Maseches Menachos that he's going to bring to prove this point. Very fascinating Gemara. But Mir Tzah Hashem will finish up the sixth parak and start the seventh parak on Sunday. Okay, for those who are interested, tomorrow night, 9 p.m.